And then you start to see that all of his nuts are moving because he's just got a handful of bugs.
Those are bug eggs. It's a bug eggs so machine, you
crazy.
Idiot.
Oh, fuck.
Jerk practice, jerk practice. Sketch boys love to reminisce, yeah.
You have given me fucking nightmares, sir. Welcome to the Jerk Practice Podcast. I'm Case.
I'm Hans.
Bugs in his face, Case!
That's a I the reason I sent that, because I was like, I'm not... Let me premise it.
Yeah.
What do you say? Record of note? Is that what we call it? So I sent Casey
the paper of record. The paper of record, yes.
I have the norovirus, so everybody bear with me.
You have larvae in your body as well.
Well, it's from handling all those fish. That's why I sent it. So I sent Casey this article about a guy who had over 150 bugs in his nose.
It is the thing, you read it and you're like, how is this not a major motion picture?
All
like,
right.
This is the fucking most horrifying. Get Blumhouse on the case for this. This guy fucking survives cancer. And then he's just like, what else could go wrong? And he's like, I just keep getting nosebleeds. My head hurts. I just don't know why. I just can't figure it out. And of course, you're a cancer survivor. You're like, oh. All right, gonna go meet the old Dr. Grimm
and
give me the news. And he goes, well, good news, bad news. Good news, what do you want first? Good news or bad news?
Give me good.
Give me good. Okay, great. You do not have cancer. Woo! You jump, freeze frame, end of the episode.
Right.
And then while you're still frozen in the air, he goes, well, you haven't heard the bad news. Oh, shit.
Right.
You slink down. And he goes, you have bugs in your face.
A lot of them. And they're feasting on your membrane.
They're feasting. They're looking. They even use words like burrow. They're looking for places to burrow.
I know.
And they're eating your tissue, obviously, because if there are bugs in your sinus, they're going
to
eat your sinuses.
They eat something. Yeah.
But it's also the description. Like, obviously, that's horrifying. You have worms.
Yeah.
And creatures and Beetlejuice's, whatever falls out of Beetlejuice's coat when he moves is living in your fucking face. And they were like, we tried to suction it out, but there was so much it clogged the suction device.
I was thinking that too.
So they had to pick them out with like tweezers and shit.
And you know where they were burrowing? They're like, they were burrowing just under the brain, like they were trying to get to his brain.
Trying to eat your brain. That's the main course.
The but Case, so I'm reading that. Jour. I'm like, should I share this? It's just disgusting. But I was like, I know where this is going. I have to read to the end because I want to know why he has bugs in his nose.
Because
last time we found out some guy got sick, it was because he was hanging out in bogs, right?
Bog water.
Looking for Ruskins or something, like a type of plant. Bulrushes.
Yes, that's right. The guy in the bulrushes who had the worm brain, yeah.
So I was like, all right, there's going to be a story here. And sure enough, here he goes. He goes, I got to start washing my hand between handling all those lake fish. So he's just fucking slugging fish and cleaning them and, you know, like wiping his nose and shit. And there you go.
Lake fish are gross. We're from a lake place.
Lakes are gross. I don't know, man.
Lakes are gross. They're green and weird, and the rocks are sharp, and everything is fucking slimy. Everything stinks. But this is a Florida lake.
Yeah.
Which just, it's hotter. It's just hotter.
That's where, Florida lakes are where all the brain-eating amoeba live. That's a true thing. Brain-eating amoeba live in fresh water that raised to a certain temperature, right? So it's like
a jacuzzi for
basically
disgusting.
It has to be a like jacuzzi temp lake. And where do you get those? That, you know, Tampa or wherever the west coast of Florida, which I think if ever you're gonna take a road trip, I say go right down the is that the panhandle?
Oh,
Just take a trip West Florida.
Everybody tip does to, East Florida. Tip. That's where all the hot spots are.
Yeah.
West Florida.
Stay west.
That's where Gibbtown is. Gibsonton.
Which is?
West Florida. Which used, it's probably now like, I love the idea that this place could ever be gentrified.
Oh, that's really
But
funny.
I'm sure
really
there
funny.
Are like $3,000 studio apartments in Gibsonton now. Or they, is it called a Gibbtown? So there was this little town outside of Tampa. Again, so Hans and I, Tampa, just sounds wet.
Yeah.
Sounds damp. My uncle lives in Tampa, and when we visited him when I was in high school,
yeah,
he was like, cool, I'll take you to the sites. We got a Busch Gardens. You guys gardens?
Right.
Rides and shit. And we're like, sure, cool, animals, rides.
Snakes,
he was
right?
Just like, snakes. Yeah, it's like, yeah, they're, it's more animal forward, but they also have the like, ooh, the wet dino ride. Ooh,
sure.
He's going to spray in the face. And then he also was just like, cool, here are the sights of Tampa. But you've been to Florida. You understand. And anyone who hasn't been there, there's this like very unique type of sprawl that is just like strip malls.
Oh, yes. Like,
turning
yes.
into other strip malls.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Eating other strip malls. So you kind of can't tell where one thing ends and one begins.
It's a really good way of description, like, yeah.
Monstrous, like, no, we got to turn at the t-shirt shop. And you're like, which one? We just saw 10 of them in a row. And they're like famous Ray's Pizza in New York.
Yeah.
It's just like.
You know what's peppered in between all those now that you mention it? A lot of dialysis joints. Tons. Mm. So many bad kidneys in Florida.
Oh, sure. Of course not. Why? Sugary drinks?
Sugary drinks.
That heat? That's good. Just stick a plug in me. Drain me.
Seafood.
I'm bloated.
Can't be good for
But what we were saying, because it's in the Gulf, it's the west coast of Florida, we were peppered in between all of those strip malls, because the east coast is like Disney stuff.
Yeah.
So they got to clean it up. Tampa side, west side, the craziest strip clubs you've ever seen. Like, every strip mall cluster has its own XXX girls.
Yeah.
Like, and the one I remember vividly is this strip club that had an actual flying saucer hovering above it with the whole light structure. But because it's old, like the lights are all fucked up and like half lit. So it looks like a place Nick Cage would go fight.
Sure,
like,
sure.
Alien, like zombie aliens. But so anyways, he's giving us a grand tour of the greater Tampa area. My uncle was like, you guys want to go to Gibbstown, Gibsonton? And
fuck
like,
yeah.
I mean, he's like, and as soon as he described it, I went, I know that from fucking X-Files.
Of
yes,
course.
Let's go.
A great episode.
So basically, Gibbstown, Gibsonton is where, used to be where the carnival, anytime you go to a street fair or a state fair, anything that smacks of that classic, like, fucking railroad Barnum and Bailey, those people all live in Gibsontown, Gibbtown. They had a statue of the world's tallest man cast in bronze, but because he was so tall, it blew over during a hurricane. So all that is left are a pair of really tall bronze boots.
I was going to say those tall boots. I know the shoes. They're homemade. Yeah, those homemade leather, beautiful shoes.
And then they had bars there because he pointed it out. He was like, oh, yeah, I've come here a few times. And he's like, you can't go to that bar. That's the freak bar. And I was like, what? So I was like, what are you talking about, Uncle Jim? And he's like, no, you have to be like a certified. It's like industry night. You got to have your paycheck. You have to be a certified carnival person to be let into these bars. Like, this is like inside baseball. This is like the Magic Castle in L.A., except everybody smokes Pall Malls.
And it's probably the greatest bar. I mean, how bad do you want to get into that bar?
As soon as he said it, and it was like, I was like 15, and I was like, I haven't had a drink in my life. And I was like, I want to start drinking today because I want to go in there. Because all I could, you get, I'm sure they have a jaunty band. It's like, I just see Mos Eisley Cantina. It's just, and everybody's just having fucking fun. And you walk in as a normie, and everyone just goes, hmm?
Record scratch, which is that a guy who actually has a record for
a hand. On his chest. Ricky Wreck-It!
Oh, man, speaking of Mos Eisley's...
His parents threw him in the gutter.
Rest in peace, Salacious Crumb.
Oh.
The voice of the Salacious puppet or Crumb, the, Mark the Dodson, who also did Droopy McCool, which I don't know if he even had a voice, but he also was all the Gremlins. Oh. He was a voice actor. He died last night.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, from a Gremlin accident.
Yes, yes.
He fed them after midnight.
I mean, Salacious Crumb has one of the all-time iconic laughs. You can't emulate that laugh.
Yeah.
And a lot of nerds have tried.
Well, there's like that's what I love about that niche voice actor market, because there's like two guys that do the Minions.
Oh,
and Harvey
really?
Loves Minions. So we've seen like special features of these two guys. And Hansi, if you see them, you're like, oh, man. We've done open mics with you guys, like, because they're like funny, but they're dad funny.
It's not like a Billy West or anything,
but
right?
They're like Billy West JV.
Got it. Sure.
Like if they would be Billy West. But they just don't got the chops, so they found that niche market where they can just speak that very specific gibberish to each other, and then also fold in song references and stuff. But, like, so that's their market. They do that, like, gobbledygook sort of Salacious Crumb, like,
yeah, that shit's,
they're like,
yeah.
That's not, that doesn't sound like a language. You need more consonants. And those are the guys you go to for... like gibberish.
That's a fun niche gig to get. I would imagine they make decent money as Minions. Anybody makes decent money compared to me, so let's take me out of the equation.
Right, of course. Yeah, no, exactly. If you use us as your lodestar, you're probably making way more than we both do.
Yes. But I would imagine, anything. Unfortunately, vocal AI is out for gibberish workers.
That's
especially
kind of
the gibberish,
like,
workers.
Which starts to get... That's the first barnacle that falls off the whale's back. It's like, wait, but I'm the best at gibberish. And they're like, the machine just scanned all the gibberish you said. It's kind of really easy to crack it. Listen. And then single tear. It's like, that is me.
Jibba, jibba, jibba.
That's my soul.
I'm trying to think of a good strip club name for one with a flying saucer. I got, instead of Beam Me Up, My Jeans Are Up. But
my jeans are... you could always go Triple X-Files.
Oh, there you go. See, I got nothing. Close Encounters of the Breast kind. See, nothing rhymes. The Greys. The Great.
I guess you go... You got to go, because this is older, so this can't be, like, like, you go Red Rocket, you want to get gross.
Oh, sure. So you go, like, Space.
Like,
Space,
like
moon,
Flash,
triple,
Flash Gordon, which is a classic.
That movie is unsettlingly... I'd rather watch the hardest corn pornography than that one, because there's a sheen of film
is
on
Flesh
that film.
Flesh Gordon, the first porno you saw that was like they tried production. Like, theme, costume.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not, like, handy cam bedroom, just cut to the chase. Like, this is what Burt Reynolds wanted to make in Boogie Nights.
Sure,
like, we need story, you gotta sit, they gotta get him in the seats, gotta get those zippers down.
I think my first was that one, speaking of Aliens, they had, like, four or five films. It was, like, a Showtime series.
Oh, right. It's like Desdemona or some shit.
Yeah, and she just played a horny alien. I think that
right,
was my first.
Right, because she started
experience.
Like as a, it's like a French courtesan.
Yeah.
But then eventually it was Desdemona in space, and she just lived on a...
Oh, maybe that,
flying saucer made out of couches.
I would imagine. I was watching it through the biggest
what
blizzard.
What, taking notes?
Biggest blizzard of television of fuzz I ever saw in my life.
A Red Shoe Diary. That was always a good one.
Oh, yeah. And then there's
Duchovny. Gotta take it out. You're like, but you're Mulder. But you're also the horny guy that writes the letters.
Right. Oh, speaking of horny guys, you know, this is a warm you up story. So we heard mm-hmm. about this guy with bugs in his face.
Yeah.
Our man is back and he's fucking 75 years old. Young, just signed a mm-hmm. new contract with AEW and he's fucking in the ring fucking working as a heel yet again. My man's Ric Flair is back.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. You can't keep him out of it.
That's fucking
Ric Flair, you can't keep him. He's a Minnesota boy. Can't stop working.
Dude, the way
can't stop drinking, he's partied, can't stop living.
His whole life.
I know.
And the amount he's wrestled, the way he's wrestled. We know that when Ric Flair was wrestling his prime, his matches were going 45 minutes. They were going an hour.
He would do 60-minute matches.
Yes. And
it's unheard of. Yeah. It's unheard of.
It's insane. So the fact that he can stand, the fact that his bones aren't, well, his bones probably are powder, but his just Midwestern will is, and he's wearing a fucking Key West t-shirt, fucking ill-fitting jeans. I was like, this
guy's
the
epitome
best.
Of dying with your boots on, dying in the saddle.
Yeah. Oh,
that guy's going to fucking die in the ring or die in the sack. That is it. Or on a bar stool. They're like, all right, Rummy, no sleeping at the bar. And you're like, he just took the last nap. The big nap. Oh,
man. I saw him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it was Sting. Sting's last match was Sting's last night. Match.
Yeah, it was last night, so I saw him come out.
I think it was last night, yeah.
I was reading about that. Good old Sting retiring. Sting's not no spring chicken either.
No.
He just has the makeup that can kind of cover it. Ric Flair's got... He doesn't make
gravitas,
it
gravitas, man. Joie de vivre.
Interestingly enough, why wouldn't Ric Flair bust out one of those beautiful $75,000 capes? Drapes. Seriously, he's wearing a pastel green shirt.
He doesn't want someone... He doesn't want the Kia boys breaking into his car and stealing his robes. Yeah. I honestly think they're too... Like, it's just too expensive.
That's true.
But also for him, like,
dry clean. And...
If you look, like, the thing with Sting was, like, the arc of his character. Like, obviously, it's makeup.
Yeah.
Got a makeup gimmick, which leaned heavily on The Crow in the 90s. And then he just kept it and it was cool. Same with Flair. Like, I think Ric Flair probably retired in, not officially, but probably for himself, as because they are writers
as
and creators.
Nature Boy.
He's creating. The Nature Boy, the robes, the, like, dust the shoulders off,
sure.
That bravado. I think he, in his own mind, went, that
it's
persona is gone. Now I'm, like, this weird, wily, old man.
Everybody
persona.
Knows his story, right? Because they've had two pretty intense documentaries about him.
Oh, that's fucking 30 for 30.
It's amazing.
Fucking
great. But, yeah, so I guess he does kind of lean into that. He's just kind of a gritty old guy.
Because that's the thing. He's always come back. And anytime someone was like, I think he's retired. Because he had his retirement match like 2 years ago.
Yeah. On WE.
No, they went indie. Like he did an indie. It was like he was on an indie show and they booked it and like built a like special event around it. Had all these big matches. But the culmination was like, this is going to be Ric Flair's last, but he's had like five of them. So he's like Kiss. See, so he's like, I'm done. And then he comes back, puts the trunks on, does the moves. He's still got it. He's still the slaps and the pokes and the nut shots.
There was a, that's so funny you bring that back as because I was thinking like, who else is coming to AEW? Like you could see Hogan coming back, but Hogan just got in trouble. For
fuck, what did he get in trouble? I just saw he, some
and somebody
shit.
Called him out.
It was Bret Hart.
Yes, he said he called
that's,
his wife the N-word.
That's right.
What in the world?
Bret the Hitman Hart was like, "I'm gonna beat up your crippled son."
Yes, he called his son a louse. That's right. That's right. How good would that be? So his son's looking over his shoulder, and Bret Hart's like kind of done. He's like kind of done fucking around with like words. Like, I wouldn't want to run into Bret Hart, right?
Bret Hart wants a real fight.
He does.
He doesn't want to wrestle. He actually wants to fist
fight
somebody.
He's gotten officially screwed by Vince, right? What do they call that?
The Montreal Screwjob. It was his last match in the WWF, and he was supposed to win the belt in Canada.
In his hometown. Yeah,
well, in his hometown, in front of his fucking friends and family. And he agreed with old Vince McMahon, like, this is going to be my last match. I'm leaving the company. Because the backstory is before that, Hogan, Kevin Nash, and I can't think of his fucking name now.
Razor Ramon?
His actual name.
Scott.
Anyways, Scott Hall. Yeah. Scott Hall. Which is insane to think about, in this modern day and age, if they could recreate that, they left their TV job over here on USA at WWF, got in a car, drove, and showed up at another TV studio, another live fucking program.
USA,
and
right?
And declared, it's like if fucking LeBron was like, he leaves the Lakers game and everyone's like, it's halftime, where'd LeBron go? Gets on a plane, shows up in a 76ers jersey, and finishes the last two quarters in fucking Philadelphia. So he had these guys like literally jump ship live on television. Show up on television and be like, fuck this, we're done. Fuck you, we're doing this else. So Bret the Hitman Hart, because he's Canadian, he's a northern Midwesterner. He's like, I sure would hate to leave it bad. I'm gonna give you my 2 week notice, and actually I'll probably work another half a week for you. Just let me win the championship here, and then I'll go my merry way, and everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. And so the Montreal Screwjob is, they're doing the match, they're wrestling, it gets close to the finish. What's supposed to happen is, he's supposed to put his move on, pin Shawn Michaels. The ref does a short count, Shawn Michaels rolls him over too quickly for like a really hunky-dunky dumb, and then 1, 2, 3. Boom. Oh, it's over. Shawn Michaels, take your belt and run. And he grabs the belt and he leaves. And you can see it on
everybody
Bret
go
Hart's
watch.
Face. He's like,
everybody go
what
watch that.
The fuck.
He's looking around the ring, seeing if there's and a turn he doesn't know about. Yeah.
It's his last match. They were fucking filming it for a documentary. So the cameras follow him in the back and he goes, what the fuck, dude? And he confronts Vince McMahon. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, hey, you know, and he's just like, no, so he's a man like crushed by the business, and then he went to WCW to wrestle,
and
then fucking fathead Bill Goldberg dropped him on his neck and fucking injured him, and he hasn't wrestled since.
Fucking good wrestlers.
He actually just tackles people. He actually punches you. He actually. Like, he almost broke the Undertaker's neck in Saudi Arabia.
But
at one of those matches where the fucking kings of Saudi Arabia were like king-making matches, they're like, Hogan versus John Cena. And they're like, yes, of course. Will you pay them? And they're like, we'll pay them whatever. I just want to see John Cena versus Hulk Hogan. And they're like, I want to see Goldberg versus the Undertaker. And Bill Goldberg cannot wrestle. He dropped a 7-foot-tall man on the top of his fucking head.
What is Bill Goldberg representative? Because he was such a phenomenon. Is he representative? Is that some kind of microcosm of a bigger picture of society? Like, because wrestling is such a beautiful art form, and Bill Goldberg had no fucking joie de vivre.
No training.
No training. His only move was the spear. He's just a
tackle,
chunk
a
in fucking
player.
Black Speedos, right? Like, there was no there, yet he was so huge. So what were we looking for? Previous quick fix?
He had a gimmick that, like, just worked. And because wrestlers are carnival folk, they went, all right. If he's hot, I'm going to catch some of that heat. We can do bits. We're going to work off this. Because his big thing was he came out. He's tough. Like, he's bald. If anyone hasn't seen him, he's fucking bald and mustache, goatee. Just thick-necked football traps, you know, up to under his ears, down to his shoulders. Like, little tight black undies and little tight black boots. And he's got his cool tribal tattoo on his arm.
Right, yeah.
And the pyro would go off in the smoke, but he would go suck the smoke in. So the pyro and smoke would end, and he'd go and do the smoke out of his nose.
All right, there's a little show.
And then he'd go to the ring. And that was the thing. He just squashed everybody. That was the draw, because back then it was WCW versus WWF for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And he was legitimately pulling ratings. So they gave him a streak. Like
big
like
streak.
Sports, like undefeated.
Tatanka
and that
streak.
Was the big... The story was you kept coming back to see if he was going to win or lose. But that's the thing. Like, that's how you know how thin the gimmick is because, okay, so you have a streak. You build an unstoppable force.
Right.
Obviously, it's going to go up. You're going to win the title. You're going to beat... I think he beat Hogan, probably.
Mm-hmm.
A very boring fucking match. And then he's the champion. Then what do? You put the belt... Like, that's why... The Andre the Giant was never the champion, because they're like, he goes back to the territorial era where he comes into your territory. He's the menace. He's the draw. But then he puts over your local babyface,
right,
because at the end of the storyline, your guy, your Bruno San Martino or your local yokel has to win because he lives there.
Sure.
He's who you come to the show
for.
Heat.
But this was before they healed Andre. In the national spotlight, he was just doing that because he was just a good guy, territorially.
Yeah, and it's work.
Yeah.
And he gets to be the big bad guy for 3 months, fucking hang out, drink some brews, play some cards,
mm-hmm.
and then leave. But that's the thing with Goldberg, he wasn't going anywhere. He's like the Ultimate Warrior. It's just a one-note story. Okay, cool, you're good, yeah. You win, then what? You have too much ego, you don't want to lose.
Sure.
Like, they don't want to tell the story. Like, Ric Flair lost all the time.
All the time.
But that's the thing. Like, he got over when he had the belt. He was so smug and shitty that you're like, just someone smack that smile off his face. That's all I want to see.
I think he lost to Cool Dad Crenshaw.
$50 just to watch someone pull his pants down and smack his bare butt cheeks.
He's got some of the all-time great color pieces, man. What were you saying? Shoot, not Tatanka.
Hogan tangent. Tampa, which is perfect for Hogan. That's Hogan territory.
He is pure. I mean, Hulk Hogan, race outburst caught on tape. That was 2015.
Oh, my
let's see Lord. News.
Come on.
Hulk Hogan addresses racist comments in the past.
Too many sugary drinks for... Too many sugary boozers for
too
old
many
Hulkster.
But
he's a frozen marg, man.
Oh, too
give
many.
Me that strawberry
floaters,
marg.
Floaters.
With the flow rum, nice
thin,
coconut rum float.
How thin does he keep his frozen margaritas at Hogan's Palace or whatever it's called?
Oh, you and I could do a shift or two at Hogan's Palace. And we know the move. We know
the
motions. Got you, Hulkster. I know just how little liquor to put in this. You don't have to tell me.
Or how cheap. Like, we used to put in so much tequila in the frozen margaritas. I can still smell how bad that tequila was on my fingers.
God.
Put a ton of it in that frozen margarita.
Conquistador.
Conquistador. It was so wretched.
Oh,
wretched. The best is in that machine.
Clontarps with Hogan.
That machine, one of the grossest things gummiest. I've ever seen. I've seen two gross things with old. So the thing about old vintage machines, which is this place we used to work. The refusal was that everything had to be vintage. It can't look vintage and be new.
Sure.
It had to be officially vintage. The thing about vintage things and why things get updated is they're very hard to clean because they're parts and they're... I mean, if you own it yourself, it makes sense. But if you're using it as like a...
Every single day, seven days a week.
A commercial like device, it's... Anyways, so there was two. One was a peanuts machine. Like, go and put your quarter, get your peanuts.
Oh,
this old peanut machine.
Fuck. By the bathrooms, of course.
And the
exactly
other one.
Where you want to get a handful of nut husks
and
while you're waiting for the John.
So many people. I mean, for a money-making avenue, it was a smart road to go down. But so the frozen machine was hard to clean. And so it didn't get cleaned very much. And I remember vividly. Just at like a deconstructed like dish at a Michelin star restaurant came out this deconstructed cockroach, just legs first, separate legs, and then what is that? What are those specks? And then next thing, you got the thorax.
Ooh, that carapace?
Oh, man. But so that was absolutely disgusting. And it didn't. You just run that baby through. Oh, better run a pitcher through. Get rid of those. And then
there's liquor in there. It's fine.
Then the nut
spritz a little conquistador on it.
Was so wild that to this day, so a person puts in their quarter to get their hot peanuts and just puts their hand underneath and is so, I think, stunned that they don't, like, just shake their hand like crazy. They just go, hey, come here. Come here.
Look at my
hand.
What?
And he's like, look down and goes, what? And then you start to see that all of his nuts are moving because he's just got a handful of bugs.
Those are nuts. Those are bug eggs. It's a bug eggs machine, you idiot.
Crazy. Oh, fuck. And again,
that's how crazy that place was. Like, that nut machine is the height it should be, 3 feet off the ground. The industriousness of these NYC roaches.
Sure.
Give them white, stained white shirts. They should be extras on The Sopranos. They're just like, what? Come on. They climbed up the fucking pole to climb into the nut machine. Do cockroaches even eat nuts? They're just like, it's a living.
It was warm. You know, it was by one of those vintage machines that put off so much heat because it didn't have a good fan. So just like nestled in the
nuts. I love
salt.
My wife tells me to cut them out, but I ain't listening.
She ain't going to see me through the wall.
That fucking machine I forgot about. Yeah.
They
like a proper butcher's map. Here's the rump roast of the cockroach. Here is the neck.
Oh, that's funny, Case. Can you make a shirt that, you know, that classic pig image where it's like cut into the different cuts?
Roach.
Right? The rump.
It's easy enough.
That would be funny. The roach cut up like a classic New York. That's pretty. That's
ooh,
great.
Ooh, the loin.
I mean, that shit would sell at a. Should get your. We should get you. I know you. You should be at the street fair in Queens, the one that runs right by our house. It's not your typical street fair. It's not the one where it's like, all right, sock store, sunglasses store.
Oh, right.
Ring store, sock store, sunglasses. It actually has a couple of those, but it has all indie stuff.
When we dreamed about when we first visited New York, that hot day we got locked out of Timmy's apartment, and we're like, well, let's go to the city and be really hungover and drink this large Arizona watermelon together. Cool, let's walk the street fair. It's just sausage peppies.
Yes, same.
Zupas
same,
wallets.
This one was
that again.
This street fair that goes by our house, but it's not as corporate except for the Dr. Pepper station, which was running like illegal Dr. Peppers because I've never seen them on shelves. They had Dr. Pepper
strawberry creams.
It was Dr. Pepper strawberry cream zeros. Yes, those are good too. I got about.
I'm in a market.
I drank me about 16 Dr. Peppers. But for real,
you know, I'm in the fat whites market because I knew exactly what Dr. Pepper
did.
That
you're
was.
Right. I just don't see him. I don't see him here.
Not big. Dr. Peppers are not in New York City.
No, I know. What
it's
is
for
that
all those
about?
Soldiers getting ready to ship out?
Just cases of Dr. Pepper. Speaking of Dr. Pepper, not in the city. Casey, are you familiar with the James Beard Award?
I am. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Well, there's
for the famed chef, an award for culinary expertise.
Well, they also give out for different categories, like the Academy Awards. And one of them is the James Beard Award for local restaurant. Okay?
Oh, got it.
But they
all
give
out
five of those a year. One this year went to Sylvia's, which is a soul food place
in
Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I believe it's soul food.
It is, it is, totally.
And there was a couple other I recognized. There was like a place that had been around in L.A. forever, or like a cheesesteak place in Philly. And the old Pheasant Diner in Brookings, South Dakota.
Shut up!
Where you can get a James Beard award-winning hot beef. Specifically, they talk about the hot beef combination. And they describe, they don't fancy that. They're like, it's a piece of fucking white bread with an ice cream scoop of mashed potatoes, some fucking chipped beef, and gravy.
And
which,
gravy, baby.
By the way,
what
is
they don't
fucking
mention,
delicious.
Ketchup, not required, but encouraged.
Don't tell me you put ketchup on a hot beef combination. Don't tell
ketchup
me you've
and yellow
done.
Mustard, baby.
Fuck, that's crazy. You already have.
You haven't tried it, buddy.
No, I can't. That is the one dish that doesn't need
sweet.
That's the one dish that doesn't need sweet or sour.
It needs a little
sweet. It's pure fat and salt. That is a fat salt dish.
Then you need a little veg with the catch.
Oh, that's crazy. No, that's crazy.
You haven't tried it. You don't know.
It's true. It's true. I can't knock it till I try it.
Oh, man. We used to, because the Wheel Inn in Watertown, visited by President Barack Obama, I think he got a hot beef combination, and he put ketchup on it, I'll have you know.
Oh, that's like eating your pizza with a fucking pocket knife.
Mayonnaise!
Yeah. Oh, I've...
No, we used to make them as a kid, because that Banquet frozen dinner would make like a microwavable tray that was the sliced roast beef with gravy.
Or turkey, yeah.
Or turkey, and then we would do those at home.
That's true, because you gotta supplement
my parents
with that
had
white
to
bread.
Feed three fat white that could eat you out of house and home. So, like, why would I take you to a restaurant and pay $12?
Right, exactly.
If you're gonna eat three of them,
that's a Midwestern dish. That
beef combination,
James Beard award-winning hot beef combination. I don't
gotta
blame
make them at home.
I get it. Like, that's. If
but
you want comfort, it's great.
Shit ass white bread, because
you need
that
it, shit.
Sugar.
There's
in
your
that
sugar
bread.
Yeah. The sponginess to it.
I mean, you could recreate it very fancy and it would be very delicious.
Probably.
It's just like a traditional French dip. I don't know if you know that. Like, they just dip the whole fucking sandwich in au jus and give you a wet sandwich. Like, a French dip is literally a wet sandwich you eat with a fork and a knife.
Well, in the Midwest, though, they give you the au jus on
the
side. But you're right. You can go. I think it was popularized in L.A. And you go, and they dip your whole sandwich in au jus.
That whole stale bread. It's just poor people shit. Like,
poor people shit's always the best shit.
That's the best food. All French food is poor people shit.
Absolutely. Spanish food, like
pheasant,
the best tacos.
That's amazing.
Yeah, promote. Anybody in South Dakota, anybody in Watertown, you can go
take half an hour to
go to this restaurant that has the premier award in all of culinary
food.
In all food, yeah. Pheasant Diner, promoted. Don't get an ice cream at, you know what? Speaking
of food.
Gotta
go to the ice cream factory.
And you can go, you can go to the college and get a, like a mustard
SDSU.
Ketchup ice cream or something.
And put it on your hot beef combination.
Oh, boy. There's your extra sweet. You know what? You and I have talked about the age-old classic Lent month. You go to McDonald's. That's when you're going to get your 2 for $5 filet of fish.
Oh,
hell
yeah.
Only tastes good that month.
When they're on sale, because those are expensive.
And now they don't do the same sale, obviously. But I was reading an article, because these are the type of articles I read. They reduced the size of it, so now they only do Filet-O-Fish sliders.
What?
Yeah.
You don't even get the proper bun
ratio? No.
You don't get the big old hunk?
You don't even get a big bun. They solidified it.
That's more work.
You would think so, right? Because you already make the buns one size. Because
it was on a regular burger bun.
Before. They're fucking people, man.
Oh, did you read that? Like, if we're talking fast food and scumbummery, this one's local from HQ, Columbus, Ohio. Did you read that Wendy's is going to start doing price flexing like Uber? So if you go to Wendy's when it's busy, you're going to pay more money.
Oh, that's fucking crazy. People are
so
crazy.
I don't know if it's true or if it was like McDonald's like fucking propaganda to just be like, don't go to fucking Wendy's anymore.
Right.
To us. Everyone thinks we're expensive. I could see this as corporate espionage because I read people talking about it. I didn't read about it. But that's insane. if it's true, that why would you do that?
To like, get an extra
it's like shekel. Saying, oh, you're going to pay more for Netflix when everybody's watching Netflix.
Probably.
So then you'll stop watching enough. Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, they're increasing the prices these days.
I got something on a price raise, and it was, it doesn't, old man, reduce.
I know.
Hey, this is, so it was 30 years ago, this is sad.
Mm-hmm.
30 years ago since the passing of the one and only John Candy. So people have come shit, out, right. Catherine O'Hara, Martin Short, Steve Martin, just talking about, you know, how much he just sounds like the greatest guy ever. Laurie Metcalf, who, by the way, Casey, your recommendation, I just finished it yesterday, of Hacks was
is it not?
Spot on. I finished it. I was,
isn't
I really
it one of
respect,
the funniest shows?
I respect that they just decided to make it its, you know, complete the circle and not do more seasons.
You got a season March. It's coming out. A new season's coming out in March.
How are
10 episodes.
Oh, all right. I take it back. I figured they ended it not to
this
spoil
may be
it,
the last
but...
season. I just told Ash that there is one. They're doing 10 episodes.
Oh,
I think March
now
15th.
I can't wait. Oh my God. This month?
Yeah. You don't even have to wait that long.
Shit. I really loved it. I can't recommend that show.
Isn't
enough.
It?
Jean Smart is
a
I have
best.
The biggest crush. She's 72. Not to focus on anybody's looks, but she's absolutely beautiful. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I keep getting shit from Meg for watching Designing Women when
oh,
I was
yeah.
young, but it was a great show.
Oh, yeah. And she's the
she
one you always
like
have
the
a crush
rose.
On.
She was the rose yeah. of the show. She was kind of the ditzy.
The ditzy
God,
blonde.
She is good in this show.
Hacks, I cannot. Again, right?
Yeah.
The portrayal of comedy through narrative, I think Funny People is good.
Right.
I don't think it's great.
Yeah.
This is great.
It's great. It really is. Oh, how good is, oh, you're better with actors' names, but the guy who he plays the guy who owns the Palmetto. Shooter McGavin.
Oh, yes.
I hate to say people by
God,
their character,
it's
but he's so good. He's so good in everything. The actor who played Shooter McGavin on because
he doesn't
Madison.
Go over, and that's
no,
the thing. He
so
can
good.
Go big, but he just plays it very straight.
Yeah,
their relationship is so good, so believable and real
yep.
that they are actually still attracted to each other.
I know
because he like sees how good she is at what she does.
I love the dynamic of everybody fucking each other over while also being
yeah.
friends. It, that you know, while else it just it works.
It feels real, like
yeah.
like show businessy real. Like you're not doing it. Like
it's
it just goes
entourage.
To show. No, no, exactly. Like in that, which is really actually funny. A guy, the guy that manages the bar where I work now. So Mark Wahlberg. Owns car dealerships, but I think they're only in like Ohio,
okay,
so and Indiana, opening. Like this area. They're just called like Mark Wahlberg Chevy or something.
Sure, which so, I'm sure does great.
So the bar manager I work for now, he worked at this like there's this place called the Levesque Tower. It's in downtown Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
This cool, awesome old Art Deco tower, built in the 30s, has all of that cool. Cornices, everything that you love from Art Deco. So it's always been kind of like the fancy spot.
Sure.
Like it's a hotel. There's a fancy bar, fancy restaurant, and all that. And I guess when Mark Wahlberg was like closing the deal with like the Midwest Mafia to become a car dealership,
yeah.
he lived at this Levesque Tower.
Mm.
And the guy I worked for was the bartender at the bar. And he was like, I would see Mark Wahlberg every day. And I was like, how was it? And he was like, yeah, he's nice, but, you know, like, he's there on business, so he's super, he's famous. He's fucking
right.
Mark Wahlberg. Everybody recognizes him. So he's like, he was nice, but he was very standoffish. And then he just described, like, he literally lives the show Entourage. Like,
yeah.
he had a bunch of his goons.
Which
from
I know
Philly
those goons, yeah.
That just, like.
Are from Boston.
Or Boston, that's right. She's from Boston. Just chatting up the hostesses, the fucking cocktail waitresses.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know who's the biggest prick? And I was like, you gotta
Donnie,
tell
Donnie,
me.
Donnie.
Please. No, his nutritionist. the biggest pig, the biggest prick.
Sure.
Like, he would boss the chef of the restaurant around. He's like, mm-hmm. I'm Mark Wahlberg's nutritionist. So he wants this, this, and this, and gross. You're going to do it this way. And then he would leave.
Gross.
I know. I guess he was just the biggest pig. So it's like, oh, so Entourage is actually real.
Yeah.
But going back to Hacks, like, I think it's a more honest portrayal of probably how normal people who are navigating fame.
Sure.
Without just, like, getting their friends to be their manager and have sex with starlets.
Right, right. Oh, the... I can't recommend it, but her... The character... The portrayal of Jimmy and his assistant is so... Everybody just knocks it out of the park. It's a knockout of the park kind of show.
And everybody has these awesome arcs. Like, yeah, really, like, Jimmy and the assistant are great. Like, they're there for, like, that classic punchy sitcom joke. Like, the over character. Mm-hmm. But by the end, you're like, oh, yeah, they've become fully realized as, like, actual people.
Oh, they pull you in. I was, like, emotional at that last episode and bummed that it was ending, but I'm so glad it's not.
Oh, you got some more. How about that episode where she meets that dude in Vegas on the one-night stand?
Devin Siwa? Oh, wait. Oh, when Ava meets that dude.
When Ava meets the guy, yeah, and she's like, I'm absolutely. Just going to live my life. Yeah. Let's party. I love the show. That episode, I went, I think this is probably my favorite show.
Yeah, that episode is fantastic. It's so that actor good. Was fantastic. I forget, I've seen him in other stuff before. Here, give me a sec. I got to use the bathroom.
Cool.
So I started drinking water like crazy about 5 days mm-hmm. ago. Because I was yeah. like, stomach hurts. I was like, what? Do I have like a bladder infection or something from like holding my piss? Or I was like, let me just clean these suckers out. Let me just drink a ton of water. Flush. Big glass of water at a time. One at a time to really mm-hmm. flush things out. Right.
To the point where you're just like,
yeah, but
I'm sick from water. Water sick.
I was clearly so... My fingers grew. I was so dehydrated. I was so like clearly dehydrated. After about 24 hours, I was like, oh my God, I have not felt... It was such an obvious thing because I hadn't made any other changes. Because like, I have not felt this good in a long time. I was clearly... Just getting all of my water from coffee.
Coffees, right? Yeah.
From Dr. Pepper Cream Zero. Cream. You know, like. Oh,
and that
man,
zero is zero water.
But I'm sticking with it. And it's like, you got to give and take. So now you got to like use the bathroom every hour. And in New York, that's not a good place to be. Yeah.
Unless you're freewheeling. Just go for it.
Going catheter.
Every bumper. Is fair game for you.
I'm wearing a 10-gallon Chi-Chi's hat.
Full of piss.
Full of piss.
So you're going to be up to your hat.
Yes, it's got to have... I need a little pump. Gravity. I need to turn on a... Burn.
Deep bladder workouts. I'm going to thrust that urine up to my head.
I took Ruby and Dell. It was like 60 mm-hmm. some 68 degrees here yesterday. It was amazing.
I know, we finally got fucking, it's like that right now. It's like 65.
The smells are in the air.
Just bacon.
Yeah. Ooh. Everything's coming back up.
Carcasses, yeah. Carapaces, all that street urine.
Street, yeah, that was it. Oh, I took them to the park yesterday and sure enough, class so full, busy, and thank God I heard another mom like, everybody get off! Because a kid took a piss down the slide. Like, great. And of course, it didn't take long. It took like two kids from not realizing it, so the back of their shirt
just dried
it
up.
And then every right, can kid, I get one more? Everybody's okay? back. Everybody's back.
Buddy, you got a sweatshirt? Come on.
You
hit
look
the
poor.
Slide for me.
Go down.
No, we've had the weird weather like 2 weeks ago. Out of the blue, it snowed like fucking 4 inches of snow. Just out of the blue. Like we had 60-degree day, and then 2 days later, snow. So Harvey and the dog are just like, I can't fucking figure it out.
Right.
We just got used to being able to be outside and play in the backyard and run. And then we're like, no, it's too cold. It's too wet.
Right.
Then it was like three or four nights ago, we were just dead ass asleep. We had like a decent day. I worked, but we went for a walk. I got everybody outside. Come home, and I was like, finally, a full restful night's sleep. Mm-hmm. Harvey fell asleep on a good time. The dog was run ragged. Ash and I had dinner, watched a little something, and then I was like, can we go to bed? So we go to bed, and sure enough, fucking 3 hours later, we get the reet, reet, reet
from the phone.
And I was like, for fuck's sakes. You know, you're fucking half tired. You just want to be asleep. And he's like, goddamn dumb fucking Amber Alert. God. You feel bad for being mad that you have devices that can help save children that are stolen. And I was like, honey, what's that? And Ash was like, I think it's an Amber Alert. So my phone was closest. And I was like, okay, I know I can't shut it off, but. And I looked, and they're like, tornado warning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Ash grabbed her phone, and she's like, oh, it's, yeah, tornado warning. What should we do?
Doorway.
Like, go back to bed.
Yeah. Just take me in my sleep.
I'm so tired. But she was like, we're in, like, the worst part of the house. We're in, like, the flavella part. Like, the part that the tornado would just be like,
chandelier over the bed.
And I was like, I just. South Dakota, we do just go to bed, sleep.
You just drive to toward sleep. It.
So we ended up like, we got up and like turned on the news. And then, of course, it's just like the fucking tornado sirens constantly. And Ash is like, what do we do? And I was like, I stay inside. Like, that's all I know. We can go
to
we
a
used
ditch.
To go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But our bathroom has a skylight, so I was like, we can't go to the bathroom. They'll just suck us out the fucking skylight like Twister.
Or, yeah, shoot those shards of glass at you.
But, of course, the dog and the kid just slept through the entire fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we just watched the news. And the moment we were like, okay, it's Pat. Okay, back to bed. Let's go. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Zach time. And then you had 45 minutes of sleep.
So no damage to Columbus. Didn't hit anybody.
Some of the outer areas got it, not. It's like, do you remember when we first moved to Sunset Park? There was a tornado in Sunset Park in Brooklyn?
Yes. Yeah. That's oddly that happened last year, too. A tornado, and it hits one block.
How?
I don't know. It just goes down and up. Down and up. Same thing happened last year. Like in Bayonne. No, that's Jersey. What am I thinking? Bay Ridge. Yeah, so it's always that area. Yeah. I guess because it's off the water. Everything's off the water. What am I talking
probably,
about?
Like, but that, like, there's a really cool Netflix series we watched a few weeks ago. I think it's called Geostorm, or just some, and it's all about, like, one episode's just about tornadoes, and one episode's just about typhoons and hurricanes, which my fat head didn't realize the difference between, like, a typhoon and a tsunami is just regional.
Oh, interesting.
Same phenomenon, but just the part of the world that it's in, like, typhoon is, like, in the Indian Ocean area.
Okay.
Tsunami is Pacific Ocean to either, you know, the west coast of Asia or the west coast of U.S. And then hurricane is just Atlantic.
So same thing, like just same down that, hot air same, meets cold air.
Same over phenomenon ocean. Gives it just has all these different like regional. It's like calling it a hoagie or a grinder.
Right, a dip.
But they had an episode about tornadoes, and I always just thought it was like it has to be like a big open space.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just that confluence of high pressure, low pressure, cold, hot. So I guess it
swirlies up.
Everything can happen in Bay Ridge.
What happens in Bay Ridge? Just everybody don't go to Bay Ridge.
Don't just stay out of Bay Ridge.
We went to
unless you're Ukrainian, then you probably
right. Bay Ridge is the place that still has the. So you go to a diner in New York, and you look at the menu. You go like, what is this on the back page? Like, I can get a rum and coke. Like, what? And then you look and you go, oh yeah, they have like a little bar, but 99% of the diners, just that bar is still, it's just facade now. Like they don't have a bar.
Yeah.
But Bay Ridge, I remember when we went, still had a bartender and it was like
10
o'clock. had
shit.
The
little garter belts,
the garter
on
belts
the
on the arms. It's like, what is this guy's 10? We're here for like eggs, and he's fucking, you know, got Frangelico, like he's right, you know, like making spicy coffees. Yeah. Yeah, that's Bay Ridge in a nutshell. They have the bar going breakfast.
It's a lost art form, and it's probably for the best, but like that weird niche old guy bartender.
Yeah, I know.
Like the one time Ash and I went to Junior's in Brooklyn, we sat at the bar, and of course we had a 56-year-old man talking about how his side gig was teaching acting classes on YouTube.
Sure.
And he's working the hot Saturday at Junior's, slinging cheesecakes, and like you said, like Bacardi Cokes and boozy coffees. And he's like, oh, you do comedy? Oh, you were an actor? Oh, yeah. And of course, it's all about what he does. And we're like, okay, well, yeah, keep these Jamesons full and you'll be fine.
The era of all those. Like, real deal bartenders seem to be retiring. And when I say real deal, I mean the bartenders that can retire from being bartenders.
With money. Yeah, yeah.
And they're not, because you have your quote-unquote professional bartenders now. Why did quote-unquote? It's a real thing.
Yeah,
sure. They make you, they're mixologists, and they make you these amazing drinks, and they're rather expensive, and they look the part, you know, they unsheathe their gear.
They're the experts on bar rescue.
Yes.
Tauber rolls out to just be like, go in and see how long it takes him to make a gin Ricky.
Right. What am I trying to think of? You know, like chefs have it. It's that amazing.
Oh yeah.
Sheath.
The knife roll.
It's their, you have your jiggers, your bar stick, spoon. And all that stuff.
You got to pour the liquor down the swizzle.
Right.
You have to do the curly.
Oh, I know it. To get that Spanish gin and tonic. I was like, what's a Spanish gin and tonic? Like, it's got a big ice cube, and you pour the gin down a spoon. It's like, oh, so it's bullshit. Oh, and it's really big. It's like, oh, well, I appreciate that part.
I like the size, I guess. Yeah.
But as I say, so you either have the mixologists who are kind of like what you talked about, kind of like nutritionists, kind of pricky.
They can be. I've worked with a couple that who refer to themselves as bar chefs.
Yeah, I don't want to generalize. Yeah, bar chefs are pricky.
But yes.
Or
it's
you
a
have
culture,
people that,
like any niche group, that you have your zealots who take it way too far. And then you have your people who are just like, no, I just like to make, I enjoy making good cocktails.
And I'm good at it.
People.
Yeah. Absolutely, and I make a good living in it. So there's that, or the bartenders that don't want to be bartenders. They want to be actors or mactors, model actors.
Mactor. Oh, we've met plenty of mactors in our day. They had large spots on television shows from what they told us.
And we were barmedians.
Yeah, we were.
For real.
Still am.
Still are. It's what we
working
were. Bar-meeting. What am I talking about? Yeah, exactly. Bar medians. Oh, but either a bar median, a mactor.
Mactor.
Where'd mactor come from? Why M? What's wrong with
you?
Me?
Said it.
Why
I
did
said
I say
yes?
It?
A yes anded you.
You did, yes.
Because I'm a bar median.
You're a bar median.
No, actor. Model. It was model. Model actor.
Model actor. But what am I thinking of? Mater? It's something from... I listened to a special on... Do you ever hear of Scandival? It's from Vanderpump Rules. I listened to a whole New York Times thing. This dude got a whole article about him because he cheated not as part of the storyline. And then everybody
he
did off camera behind like the showrunner's back, and it became a big thing.
Ain't getting paid for it, dog.
No, he didn't make a dime except for the person he cheated on.
I hope it's love then.
Yeah. Yo, no. She moved to Europe and changed her name. This apparently you and I are out of the loop because this was the biggest story.
I know people talking about Vanderpump Rules.
Yep.
That makes sense because they're like, I can't wait for the new season. And I was like, I don't even, because you and I talked about it like months ago. We're like, we thought it was about shoes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
But it's about a sexy restaurant, right? And now it's just about the people who used to work in the restaurant.
The name of the restaurant is like S. It's called Sir, and it stands for Sexy Uber Restaurant. But it's Sir Restaurant, so it's Sexy Uber Restaurant.
Sounds great. I bet their brunch is crusher.
Oh yeah. All right, but the original bartenders are all retiring now. Those are the guys who could tell you a story, could mix a good drink, but didn't have to tell you about you. They didn't have to tell you how they were making it.
Sourced ingredients. Yes. He's gonna give you fucking Tanqueray and tonic.
Yeah, those. I met a bunch of guys through our classic bartender through Chris Clark. Whenever we would take a venture out throughout the city, because Chris Clark would just wake up in the morning, have a drink, and then roam his way down Manhattan until he ended up at his bartending shift. So everybody knew him. He would stop. Chris was the kind of guy who would stop and eat a whole fish by himself, like, and a bottle of wine. Like, he just knew everybody. So I got to meet all these classic, like,
and because you hit your spot. Yeah. You're like, it's Wednesday. Old Jimmy's down at Jimmy's. Gotta go down for my 11:30.
Jimmy knows my name. Jimmy knows my drink. I have my one drink.
I'll get a shot.
I talk about the sports page with Jimmy from the Post. I go down and have my opened blackened fucking redfish.
The whole fish.
You know,
go to the fucking street market
with Celia.
He knows enough people because then he's like, oh, there's a bar with a grill, but they don't really use it. So I'm going to take my whole red snapper.
Oh, yeah.
Have them cook it for me. I tip everybody, of course, because I'm Chris Clark.
We used to have a guy who was in the elevators union that used to come into Trailer Park. And he would fish. He would fish in the Hudson. And he'd be like, I got to wait for my fish to be done. And I'm like, finally inquired. Like, he was always coming in waiting for his fish to be done. But I didn't know the story. And then finally he's like, yeah, because I go catch a couple in the Hudson, just like when I was a kid. And I go take it down to insert racist something, he would say here.
Right.
He would take it down to, like, the local, like, real deal, like, Chinese restaurant. And they would cook the fish up for him. So they were cooking up fucking New York River fish.
His eyes are iridescent from all of the heavy metals in that fucking water.
Oh, it's worse than that weightlifter that was eating all those coins for
I forgot to talk about it.
Oh, I said Casey. Because, go ahead.
I was going to say, because right now in Columbus, again, other than the price flex for fast food.
Yeah, for Wendy's, yeah.
Well, we got another fathead meat market going on. Columbus is home to something. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or if we've ever talked about it. It's called the Arnold Classic.
No, I can't. It's not popping the head right now.
And they do it in Columbus every year at the convention center. They have a bronze statue of the governor himself, like old days flexing, like the classic, you know, Atlas shrugged. Like he's just flexing in downtown Columbus.
This is a permanent statue.
This is an event they do. Yes, exactly. You can go down there right now and take a picture next to
it. Oh, so it's like the Fonzie or the Mary Tyler Moore. Is it part of that series? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. The Lou Costello in that random bus park.
That's right. Right. For anybody that doesn't know, for whatever reason, somebody decided to do a swath over the United States of wherever I don't know where the Columbus one's coming from, but wherever a sitcom character was based. So you have Fonzie in Milwaukee.
It's where they worked.
Where they worked. Yeah, it's so silly.
So Mary Tyler Moore is sexy because it's on like 35th Street and Madison.
Yeah. No, but she's like, in Minnesota. Minneapolis, downtown. That's where the TV station was based.
That's right. It was in downtown Minneapolis. Yeah. That's why I don't know why I transposed it to New York.
Because you're thinking Ralph Cramden or whoever the fuck you're talking about. Yeah.
They have this thing every year called the Arnold Classic, and it's just, they've turned weightlifting into sports.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an event where all of the strength training people descend on Columbus and just, like, pump for points.
Pump for points?
Pump for points.
So it's not like the sweet thing where they're like throwing kegs over.
No, it's none of that. Because that's what I asked. Like I've asked people. It's like, so when you go watch it, because I'm like, is there like the descendants of Vikings like throwing cannonballs into a bucket?
Throwing trees?
No, they just do measured weights and then you do it in time. Like, it's like the weightlifting in the Olympics.
The clean and jerk.
But it's just across this whole thing, and it's this huge subculture, which I was like, oh, that's cool, but it's something I never thought about.
Sure.
That you could go watch a guy just fucking pump.
Hard pumps.
So just get whipped into a froth.
What is the association of an Arnold statue in Columbus?
Because he started it. I think they just went,
oh, okay.
You are Arnold Schwarzenegger, famous bodybuilder, actor, sure. Governor. We have a space. It's winter. There's nothing going on in Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We'll do this. We'll host this event. Because I think it was started with him. Like, he started it.
Makes
like,
sense.
I would like a tough bodybuilding event. And I'm not judging because I haven't seen it. I just, it's sure. just, it happens.
If you're into weightlifting, it sounds like it's
It's like amazing. You're a Comic-Con.
Yeah, exactly. Weighty-Con.
Like, they're the
lifty.
Like, I know a few people from working at the bar that are weightlifters, and they're like, when it was like, I'm so happy for you, because he's like, oh, man, I just went to the Arnold. So awesome. I got to see, you know, Sven Skegsvis again.
Right, of course.
He was exactly, really yeah. nice. He was awesome. And then I got to see Ricky Richardson. He's great. And just, I was like, how do you know these things? I follow him on Instagram. They just,
right.
They do the regiment guys. Like, it's all gig. Everybody's in it. It's a gig world now.
I know.
Whether you lift weights or you're a comedian or you are a doctor, you don't have a regular job. You have to have a fucking, like, side gig as an influencer.
That's, yeah, the era of, like, the questionable, or is the era of the questionable, weightlifting magazine, is that over? Because they're all promoting on their Instagram.
I think it's past. Because that's now you don't. Oh, and everybody go watch your gay porno.
Yes,
that's for free on the internet.
Yeah,
or and meet some strange on the strange internet.
Well, right. And of course you don't have to hide. Right.
Yeah, there's no stigma. You like mm-hmm. a chiseled, beautiful physique. You have a chiseled, beautiful physique. Just get some grease, baby. Go.
Do you think the guys that were like publishing that magazine that were actually delusional enough to think that they were publishing a real
an like, actual weightlifting magazine
yeah. were like, why are our numbers dropping off? And then somebody's like, well, the reason is there's because actual... people were only just looking at the guys.
You're jerking off to...
for their they were jerking like what? What?
You bet it was my friend Brady, who I worked with at Rye, who is the screenwriter.
Like, yeah.
He's a writer, and he, as a kid, he's the only other person but you that would get this reference, because he was like, no, I live that reference. Because he was like, I'm sick of being a string bean and getting yeah. sand kicked in my face. I want to work out. So he was getting those bodybuilding magazines.
Sure. Yeah.
To
yeah,
the point at which his parents were like, it's okay. If there's
yeah, right.
something you want to tell right. us.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to tell you that I want to be big and strong. And they're like
sure
that's okay. But the reason these magazines exist, he's like, to get fit and get buff. They're like, no, they're for gay men. It's like, what?
They're like, just drink some fucking milk and do a chin up, kid. Yeah, those magazines are crazy.
Right, but that's the whole subculture is like those old 50s, 60s
those are the best.
Magazines
yeah,
are I mean, old. Of course you got, you know, your Johnny Atlas, but why is he wearing a mesh
chainmail
bottom?
Chainmail bikini bottom. Chainmail was big in the 60s.
Why was his balls covered but the stalk of his penis was just available?
It just had it was holding a jousting
there.
Stick.
Speaking of that, I was just listening to something about a New York Times article they did. And to you and I, we're like, of course, obvious, because we think so little of the rest of humanity. They were doing an article about kidfluencers.
Okay.
On Instagram.
Sure.
And immediately I'm like, ew, gross. I don't like this.
Yeah,
but
of course.
This is the age we live in. So it was an article about all of these, like, sort of, like, dance moms that, because you can't get an Instagram account unless you're, like, 13, 18, I don't know.
16 or something, yeah, 14.
But you're not allowed to be a child. You're not allowed to be our kid's age and have an Instagram account.
But did things change where all it is like you put through the scroll your birthday thing? You can't just lie and have an Instagram account?
You could if you wanted. But that's the thing. Kids actually don't want it. They just want, you know, like one of the jobs that kids want to have is influencer now.
Huge, yeah.
But that's YouTuber. There's this whole sort of subgenre, and it's called kidfluencers because it's these moms and dads that start Instagram accounts for, and what it tends to be and started as is for girls in dance. Boys, it can be a boy in dance if you want, but it tends to be skew more towards girls. Girls in dance or gymnastics. So they start these accounts for their daughters as gymnasts, but then they put the influencer spin on it and they're like, hey, niche dance leotard company, my daughter's competing in Omaha this weekend. If you send us stuff, we'll take pics and promote it. So it's the new mode, basically just commerce. It's new mode of advertising. So you have this niche market blow up. Like they have that whole show on Netflix called Cheer, which will also follow the rest of this story.
Oh, gotcha.
About this niche dance market and like how much money you can make promoting that clothing line or sneakers or like energy drink or whatever. Like you're just selling to your pool of people, which you are... can do now targeted through, you know, like Instagram and Facebook, like, and Google. Like, you can just send ads to people you know that like what you like.
Sure.
So you have this, like, huge growth of kidfluencers that are in this dance scene, gymnast scene, or whatever. But I guess you can do it on Instagram now where you can have a pay option and get more exclusive content. So they've started to do that, and now I was just like, oh, really? Clutch your pearls, ladies and gentlemen, because you didn't see this coming down the pike? So they have the pay portion, which offers you more content. You can get access to more pictures, but you can also interact. Hey, you can DM me now because you're in the pay thing.
Right.
And you know, these fucking dopey fucking parents are like, so I have to get up 2 hours earlier than my daughter and block people for 2 hours. And then before I go to bed, I have to block people for 2 hours because the only people paying for this are pedophiles.
Of course, idiots.
What the fuck are you? What do you think?
Internet.
If you're making $50,000 on advertising for dance leotards, that's not only on young ladies who want to buy dance leotards.
Right. Or like zero.
I would love to see the over under on that.
Yeah.
Because you and I hung 100 fucking flyers to get one person to come to our comedy shows because of that 10%
rule. And they thought they were going to see fat wins.
Or the 1% rule. Exactly.
They, interestingly enough, on this, I read this story and I was like, oh yeah, I just haven't seen her a lot. And I was like, good on her. But she's like, so Drea D'Amato. She was on The Sopranos, okay? Yep. And then she actually, after The Sopranos, she had a very short-lived sitcom that, like, got picked up and was only made at, like, 6 episodes with Joey from Friends.
Yeah, it was The Joey Show.
The Joey Show.
She was Joey's sister.
Yes. Okay, so
from
you know.
From Friends.
Well, turns out she got typecast and she wasn't getting any work. And then to make things worse, she came out. And was like, the mask thing, she was not, she made a wrong comment at the wrong time about masking. Because from what I read, she wasn't an anti-masker. She just made the wrong tweet. And they were like, you're fucking peace out. You're out of here. And she couldn't get any work. And she was going to lose her fucking house. And she was going to lose all this shit. And she went on OnlyFans. She's like, I'm going to go on OnlyFans. And she makes this argument like, because what else am I going to do? Okay, just saying there's a lot of other jobs to do, but if she's going to lose her house, that's probably an expensive fucking house. So she's not going to be able to go to work at Starbucks and save her house.
Right.
So she goes on OnlyFans. She fucking paid for her mortgage in like 72 hours. For real. She's like, I'm out of debt. I own my house now. And she's like, and then, and obviously now she's getting all this press because people are like, you know, she's getting a lot of flack from people, which they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Because people should be allowed to do what they want. But at the same time, she's, you know, now she has to answer for being an OnlyFans model versus a quote unquote serious actor.
Well, if you don't get work, it's like, it's that
don't get work.
Time old conundrum of New York. You can't get hired unless you have New York experience. Well, I can't get New York experience unless you hire me. I can't be an actor unless you fucking hire me as an actor.
Right.
I got to pay my bills. Like you said, she can't work at, I mean, she could work anywhere, but she is a famous person and a very attractive famous person. Mm-hmm. So you're going to catch shit from people working. Like you said, if you get a job at a fucking restaurant as a fucking manager, they're going to be like, are you for Sopranos? Chrissy, where's Chrissy?
Plus, yeah, the house you buy when you're making that, you know, $350,000 an episode, which Sopranos now, I'm like, oh yeah, Sopranos, she must still have some money. Sopranos was 2 decades ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If Sopranos was, came on when we were in high school.
When we moved to New York.
Yeah, Sopranos is a long, long time ago. That's, I read something
Yeah, it's almost 20 years old, probably.
That, right? I was like, oh,
over?
What's that?
It's like, when did it come out? 1996?
96.
Was it 96?
I was a junior in high school, so that would have been like 99. Oh, that was after the year. 98. You're right. 1998.
It was 98. Yeah. Because I didn't watch it until you and I lived in Minneapolis. Which would have been 3 years later, so we were catching up.
Yes. And we were watching on DVDs. It's old as hell, and it seems like it was yesterday, because we're old as hell. Somebody just posted something. They're like, here's your morning treat for all you oldies out there who don't think you're old. In the American Pie movie, Stifler's old mom that seduces the teen, she was portraying a... She was 38.
Ah, nice. No, which is funny, because every time we watch Sopranos...
Jennifer Coolidge,
yeah. It comes up, and Ash and I always do this, is like, how old do you think Tony Soprano is in Sopranos?
Right.
And it's always like, always, like, for whatever, like, 50. Like, it doesn't that seem like a good age for Tony Soprano?
Around. Yeah.
He's like 50 something.
Absolutely.
He's old, but not too old. He's young, but not too young. He's like 38.
Of course. Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just like Stifler's mom. Like when the show starts, every time we watch it, like now we usually watch Sopranos like once a year, once every couple of years. And every like now I've breezed well past Tony Soprano.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
And I was like, I have nothing. I have accomplished nothing compared to Tony.
Oh, don't say that. You got a cockroach shirt in the tank.
Oh, speaking of reaching for the stars and grabbing one, did you see anything of? Because I know you're you and Dave are baseball or basketball, basketball heads. Did you see any of those clips about that kid, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I did not see anything about Kareem. No,
I just told Ash about it last night. She's like, "What are you talking? Did you say Kareem or did you mispronounce Kareem?" And I was like, "How about you just Google it?" And you tell me, which the beauty of it is so there's this kid who plays for Indiana State, Larry Bird's alma mater, classic for turning out white guys who can ball.
Oh, I get it now. Okay.
And they call him Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He has Buddy Holly goggles. That's why they call him Kareem, because he wears the corrective goggles. And my dude is pear-shaped, and he can go, dude.
He's like a brick? Nice.
He just, like, yeah, he put up a bunch of points, and he just no-look passes, like, tight bounce passes. He's got the wonky shots, but they are, like,
oh,
impossibly long.
The side shot,
he, you know, he jumps, like, a quarter of an inch off the ground, and he's a center. He's, like, what did Ash say? He was, like, 6'10". So he's 6'10", but he looks like Buddy Holly.
Of course.
And he's just balling.
I love it.
So if you want a smart bet, if you want a fun bet, March Madness is coming up. Keep your eyes peeled on Indiana State. I think they're going to get a lot of looks.
All right.
And I think my man Kareem Abdul-Jabbar might get you up a bracket. Nice. If he shows up.
Dr. Pepper Kareem.
Unless the mafia lays him low.
Case,
unless Bobby D gets to him.
I got to move my car.
All right.
Classic New York.
Leave it on old Kareem and moving cars.
I don't want to end with me saying move my car.
I'm sure. What else we got in the pike? I got Joy Work for you.
Okay.
It's HBO.
Give me.
Classic true crime. If you have not partaken, it's called Death by Fame. HBO Max.
Oh,
classic. It's all right. True crime, LA, all connected to fame and fortune.
Sure.
That pulls people all out to Los Angeles, the city of angels. They're all great. They're all horrible, but it's true crime. But you got to get through. You know, it's great true crime. There's decapitation by hammer, famous guys from TV, bad stand-up comedians, Breaking Bad. But episode 3, I was like, this is the JP clincher. They have an episode, and I was like, it's true crime, and it's everything that any Jerk Practice listener and participant love. It's about the guy from Boys in the Hood who sticks the shotgun out the window.
I know the guy. I can picture his face. Oh, no.
Eyes. He's got the steely eyes.
Yes. Oh, my God. Amazing.
So it's about him getting the part, getting that fame as the guy who guns down Morris Chestnut with the icy eyes.
He gets Ricky. Oh, amazing.
So, yeah, that'll get you. The first two are good, and by good I mean terrible. But 3 is it's Boys in the Hood, true crime.
It's not Bull's Cap, but it's Bull's Cap's best friend.
It is. No, that's what I thought, too. I was like, Ash. And she's like, what? Why are you so excited? And I was like, I can't explain it to you.
Amazing.
And that guy's arc is fucking insane. It's insane. It's fucking madness.
It's on the docket, baby.
Wait, what? When it ends, you go, can we start it over? Because I didn't see this coming
from a fucking
1,000 miles away.
Okay. All right.
The sweet looking guy with the steely eyes and the shotgun kills Morris Chestnut. Yeah. So anyone watching, go check it out. If you want to see them talk. Episode 3, Death by Fame, HBO Max. I say watch the first couple. They're good and terrible as well. But
you'll love it, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You can do about it.
I feel like he's going to get murdered in a tub or something.
You don't even know, my friend.
You
have no idea.
Amazing.
You couldn't write a better end for a crook.
Okay, perfect.
Jerk practice, jerk practice. Sketch boys love to reminisce, yeah.
Some people will do anything to bring home the fresh taste of Chi-Chi's Chunky Restaurante Salsa.
But we cowboys sure do like Chi-Chi's salsa.
What they should know is that famous Chi-Chi's recipe, made with real vegetable chunks, is available at the store. Chi-Chi's, the only leading salsa from a real Mexican restaurant.
Now, that wouldn't be a 10-gallon hat by any chance, would it?
11.
And try Chi-Chi's white corn taco shells.